Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, and hopefully bring you some light relief today, as tension is a little bit high for various reasons. This will, of course, be the most unforgettable year for so many different reasons. So we'll try and bring some cheer. Although there's some really dramatic news to share about the closure of more and more restaurants. So I do want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because I think, you know, way back in March, of course, we predicted solemnly that restaurants would not survive this. Many restaurants would not be able to. And then as it got closer to June and July, it became obvious that a lot of restaurants were really trying harder than they have ever tried to stay open and to pivot and to change their models. And so many of them did fantastically well, and so many of them gave us, I think, the real treat of being able to have takeout food from fine dining restaurants, for example, that really was not possible in the past. I don't know about you, but I never called up really fine dining restaurants to get takeout food. I always thought it would have been kind of frowned upon. Although I did actually a few times go to Le Bistro in New Valley. If any of you remember, talk about missing a restaurant. Now that was a restaurant that really served its community. Alan Takahashi had the most gorgeous neighborhood restaurant there. I did call them a few times to get takeout with their amazing orecchiette with ragu. I can still taste that wonderful food. Isn't it amazing, like restaurants that have an effect on your life? You just don't forget them. It can be because of a celebration, or it can be a dish, or it can just be the fact that you used to be able to go there. Just an incredible thing, I think, to have restaurants like this in our lives. And there, many of them now are going because they are unable. The second wave was too much. And with everything else that's happening, a lot of restaurants who, you know, are still having to pay rent, are still trying to think of different ways to make ends meet, to keep staff working. I can't tell you how many restaurants I know, restaurant owners I know personally, who are just doing everything they can just so their staff can keep working and keep their jobs going. So it's just such an extraordinary time. And even though I said we will bring you some cheer, which we will this morning. In fact, maybe we'll talk a little bit about sports too for a few more minutes, just to keep all that going for you so you feel happy. But there are restaurants closing. I'm going to talk about this later in the program, I think, this morning, because I don't want it to go unmarked. It's totally the end of an era, I think, from two ends of the culinary spectrum this week. Two restaurants announced that they would no longer try and stay open. In fact, they will close permanently. Alan Wong's, of course, the really iconic restaurant that did so much for the state of Hawaii in bringing people here to taste his food. And, of course, he was one of the original Hawaii regional cuisine chefs, and so much more than just that name. He lived it and practiced it and still will. I'm convinced that we will see Alan Wong in some other venture, not too far away from now. But you can't let the closing of his restaurant go without commenting on the fact that, you know, it was an iconic restaurant. And on the other spectrum, I think it was a sad coincidence, but I think it was kind of poignant that Ed Kenny also announced that he would be closing Town, the restaurant that he opened 16 years ago with his partner Dave Caldero. And that was the beginning of another era, because I always think about Town opening as the restaurant that came into the neighborhood and brought exactly the kind of restaurant we wanted to eat in. I'm sure many of you remember going to Town for the very first time and just thinking, yes, this is what we wanted. This is what we saw in Europe. This is, for me, these were the restaurants that I grew up eating in. And he brought it. They brought it to Town in Kaimuki. It's not the end. It's just the passing of one restaurant for Ed Kenny, but it's not the end of his era because, of course, right across the street he has Mud Hen Water and is Kaimuki Suprette, and I'm sure that those restaurants will thrive as they are now completely owned and operated by him and his group. And he's a smart operator and just a wonderful chef, and just really treats everybody he deals with extremely well. So I know that they'll thrive. But you see my point. It's an end of an era in the restaurant world. It's a very sad week to just reflect on the fact that what we said way, way back in June and July, that restaurants would not survive this, is coming true. And Bobby, it seems strange. There's so many things that are going on right now. There's so much happening in sports, in politics, in, you know, our daily lives, personally, everything. And I still feel, you know, very sort of touched by the fact that these really tremendous restaurants are closing, and they gave so much to Hawaii.
Well, I think so many of them were iconic. I mean, that's really, when you see some of those close, mm-hmm. I'm not as surprised by, you know, we see a little chain or a small chain come in, and they were operating on a shoestring anyway. And then you see that close. That, I mean, listen, you feel bad for anybody that puts their investment in and closes. But when it's somebody that was sort of a destination restaurant and that shuts down, that really, I think that does have an impact on the community. I think the way people regard Hawaii as a real food destination, I mean, you just think to yourself, if this keeps up, would that change?
Well, people are going to change. There are new, as we talk about the sadness of these restaurants closing and a passage of time and the end of an era, there are, of course, waiting in the wings some incredible new, you know, chefs and creative people who just can't wait to get started. So it will continue, and Hawaii's culinary tradition will just continue to grow. But I think what it was about Alan and how he operated his restaurants and Ed, you know, I think 16 years ago you wouldn't have said they had much in common, but you definitely, on reflection, they have had much in common. And it was just basically an understanding that where food comes from and how important it is for our farmers and the people who cook it and serve it and, you know, everybody who's connected with it. And I think that's what we're going to miss. If we are only, I've said this I don't know how many dozens of times, but it's true. If we don't continue to support our local restaurants,
they won't be here.
They won't be here. And we will have
chains only.
Only. And you will, trust me, if it was up to all the chain restaurants, you would have drive-through restaurants. You would be sitting in your car eating. There's this lovely,
I just
Italian,
wanted you to know that you can tell now I have been listening. I just, you think I don't listen to you? You just know. Now you know I do.
Well, yeah, because I say it enough, don't I? But
I'm jumping. I'm finishing your sentences.
It's absolutely true. If we don't support the little ones, the big ones will come in and completely take over. And not taking anything away from the job that these large, you know, restaurants do, because they do serve a need as well, but we can't just have them as part of our Hawaii culinary community. We cannot. We need these other restaurants to survive. So anyway, that was just my sort of little, I said I would start off cheerily this morning and it didn't. Oh, really, I couldn't help it.
God, if that's cheery, I hate to see what the downer's going to be.
Right. Well, that was it, really. I think we're all on the upside from then on. But I just think there's so much happening this week. And just as you were kind of ending your show and I was coming in to start, football games being canceled. Is that no surprise to you? Were you
all
expecting that?
Well, I just think today is a little bit of a wave, because we had heard earlier today that the Tulsa Navy game was canceled. And that was going, I think that was at Navy, but and then just a little few minutes ago, we heard Army Air Force is canceled, the military academies,
right.
And it's outbreaks at Air Force. And then we hear the Cal Washington, this is going to be opening week for Pac-12, that's in jeopardy because Cal's got an outbreak. I just think it's the world we live in right now, and I don't think anybody can just assume they're going to play their whole schedule. The Pac-12 only has 7-game schedules planned. So that one, if Cal and Washington don't play, it means they're down to six. I mean, they could end up playing two, three, four games.
So what kind of knock-on effect does that have then? Because obviously if you're in conference and you have other people relying on playing against you and then games just start to get cancelled, it's like anything else.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's two impacts. Number one is financial, because if you're not honoring, if you can't deliver the games for, say, to the Pac-12 network, you're not going to be getting the money you're supposed to get from the TV networks. That's one. The other one is, how do you go about establishing a champion? And what they've decided to do in most conferences is it'll be your win percentage. So let's say you play a seven-game schedule, you only get to play five, you're 4-1. They'll determine your percentage, and that's – so are you better than someone who's – 6-2, or you're 5-2, is that better than 4-1? I mean, it's all that. You just have to figure out the percentage.
I wouldn't be volunteering for that job.
No, you need a calculator for that. I hear you. That's not my strength either, as you know. So, yeah.
But
there are people that can do that. So.
Well, thank God.
Fairly easily.
Right. But that must be the first time that anything like that has been, had to happen.
I just can't remember a game where there's been this level of cancellations. It's unheard of.
And then do you see it happening any closer to home? I mean, are any of Hawaii's games in jeopardy? I know there was one.
Well,
sure.
I mean, Hawaii's not in jeopardy at Hawaii right now because they've done a great job at UH. They're keeping, and to some effect, because they have not been able to practice as much, but they've also kept the incidence very, very low. So
about people coming in? What are they doing? Well,
no fans are coming in.
But teams are coming in to play Hawaii.
Yeah.
But so all those players are tested first, so they know.
All of them in the Mountain West, and that's all they're playing, are tested. Everybody's tested three times a week.
Or just like you.
Yep.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think I probably didn't know that, actually. But it's just because everything changes so quickly. I mean, you're just one day you're following one set of rules, and the next day it's another set of rules, whether it's sports or food or any of the things that we're all involved with. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like since March we've been saying this. And I said, actually, in March, April, I had to do a report on kind of where we saw restaurants going. And I did say way back then, I just did have a feeling that the fine dining restaurants were going to be the ones that struggled first and longest. And then would be the first to just give up.
I remember you making that report to some very well-regarded people here in the business community who really took issue with you. They thought you were absolutely wrong. Well, I expect to hear their apology calls any day now.
Well, I think it was hard for people to understand the impact. Because if you don't understand how restaurants work, all you see when you go into a restaurant is just, the person swimming on top of the water. You don't see anything that's going on underneath. It's a bit like watching the mid-pack boys play water polo. There's just violence underneath and stress and all kinds of stuff happening. And that's what happens in the daily running of a restaurant, which is why so many people are addicted to being in the industry, because it is part theater and drama and tons of action and excitement. But a lot of it is just living on the edge, and even in fine dining restaurants, the amount of effort and work and manpower that goes into getting your plate to your table is just immense. It always amazes me how restaurant people do it, actually. I've had so many people ask me over the time that I've been in Hawaii why I wouldn't want to have a restaurant here, and it never crosses my mind, because I see how hard people work. And I think from the fine dining point of view, to me it was kind of obvious that now there's fine dining people who are pivoting, like Peter Merriman is really, really pivoting, and he is going to turn, I think, Merriman's into something quite different, because he's really looking and he's in a position to. He has a lot of foot traffic in Kaka'ako. He's paying attention to who's coming in. I think that might make a difference. And I think that we'll know next week, because we're going to be talking to Kevin Haney from 12th Avenue Grill. But I'm absolutely, utterly convinced that if anyone can pivot and make a change, it's him. And he does have an awesome idea debuting. In fact, I'm going to check when we go to the break, but I think his new concept actually opened yesterday. So we'll check in and find out about that. So, yeah, it's just there's just a lot going on. But as I say, honestly, Bobby, I mean, as you know, yesterday I had an incredibly busy day, and largely I was with people who are looking at restaurant spaces and want to open new restaurants. And two of them, two sets of people who want to open, are bringing food that we haven't seen before here. So, you know, out of real devastation and trauma and trouble comes new creation and new creativity, and we've just got to hang in there. So anyway, I think we'll go for a break. I think that was quite a lot of talking. If you have a question this morning or a comment, you know, we're always interested to hear about your favorite restaurants. Are they still up and running? Are you still able to support them? Because, of course, we are saying support all our local restaurants, but for a lot of us, even that's becoming slightly challenging. The restaurant card, of course, has become a fabulous boost, and we'll talk about that more later as well. So we're going to go and take a very short break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. Thanks for being with us this morning. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran. Every Thursday morning, we bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, and a little bit of sports, and it's getting more sports as the weeks go on, I'm happy to say. That was a long time where there was nothing, right?
Oof.
There was no sports, and then there was no you. That was like a really long time, months and months and months. Anyway, it's all good right now. So we promised you last week that we would start a countdown to Thanksgiving week, which is just speeding towards us like a truck. It's only, 3 weeks? 3 weeks today, I suppose, is Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Good gracious.
It does seem soon.
It does, doesn't it? And then, of course, it'll be Christmas. So one of the really exceptional things this year, of course, is you'll be able to get Thanksgiving dinner from almost any restaurant you like. And do not feel guilty this year about not cooking. You've all had a horrible enough time. You do not need to get stressed out about cooking Thanksgiving dinner. And there are lots of chefs ready to help you out. The first of the ones that we want to tell you about this week is from Basalt Restaurant in Waikiki. Keith Kong, the executive chef, is joining us. Hello, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I'm doing great, thanks.
It's good to hear you. It's been a while.
It has been a while for us, yeah.
Tell me how things are before we start chatting about all your great takeaway options and Thanksgiving. How are you guys? Where are you right now in terms of, are you seeing some tourist activity? How's the restaurant running? Give us an overview, if you would.
Yeah, you know, of course, it's been an up and down roller coaster ride for all of us, especially in the restaurant industry, especially in Waikiki. But, you know, we're bouncing back and we're a resilient bunch, as you know. And it's just going to be time. And right now, since opening, we have been seeing visitors come in. Waikiki's still pretty empty overall, but, you know, they got to eat, they got to drink. And it's really nice to have both the locals and the visitors coming through the restaurant again. So we've seen an increase in activity over the last 2-3 weeks, and it's good. It's a positive sign for the future.
You know, I did drive through Waikiki yesterday because, you know, I think you have to have a sense of how everything's going. I was really quite amazed at how quiet it was.
Yeah,
I mean, you sort of expect it to be kind of quite vibrant just from what you're seeing of people arriving, but gosh, it's still really quiet, Keith.
It is, and I think that those numbers there's a lot of different things involved in the numbers, whether they're people that are working, whether they're National Guardsmen or medical people, whether they're locals that are returning, they're people from Hawaii that are coming back to visit friends and family that live here. So it's not all just tourists staying in Waikiki. So I think it's spread out, and I think we've got a long ways to go. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, we absolutely admire your resilience. We are all 100% behind you, as we have been since March. And I know that a lot of local people are just really enjoying the fact that they've been able to take out food from you and some of your incredible menus. I know.
They do a great job there.
I know.
That food was great.
All through all the takeaway we've had, I have to say that our takeaways from Basalt were amongst the favorites by far, right? We didn't have to say any more than once to the boys, you want to take out from there. Give us an overview of what you're offering right now, just on a daily basis, Keith, because you have a lot of stuff going on between breakfast, takeout, and lunches and dinners and wines. Tell us what's happening right now.
Well, we have actually some really exciting news, Joe and Bobby. We are going to expand our hours of operation back into a normal restaurant, if you can believe that.
Cool.
It's really great. Exciting. Yeah, so starting on Monday, we're going to resume our dine-in breakfast service. We'll basically be doing breakfast from 8 to 2 every day in the restaurant. And, of course, you can continue to get takeout. And visit our website if you want to check out the menu. But we're also going to reintroduce our lunch menu, which we haven't had. We've kind of done an all-day approach since COVID started, and now we're getting back to breakfast and lunch menus, and then we'll be rolling out a new bar menu. It's kind of a morphing of the all-day menu with some favorites, and so that'll allow us to continue happy hour. Happy hour is from 2 to 6. So everything is daily again, which is kind of nice for everybody to be able to count on us to be open at these times. And then last, we're going to be relaunching dinner menu from 5 to 9. So that's very exciting. And that's even going to include the very popular prefix menu that we used to run.
You know, I think that's a really strong move because every day, I think someone asks me, is that restaurant open or are they closed? What time are they open? I did it myself the other day. I was going to go for lunch with a colleague of mine, and none of us knew. We had to go to the internet to find out if certain restaurants were actually open for lunch, because I think that's one of the most destructive things for restaurants, isn't it, Keith? The inconsistency of hours, that people are not, they want to come to you, and then in a minute they'll turn around and say, we'll go somewhere else because I'm not sure if they're open. Did that have a part to play in the fact that you guys are opening up back to regular hours?
It definitely did. I actually had a lot of people come to me directly, you know, and say, hey, what's going on? Are you guys ever going to open for breakfast? Or want the pancakes again? And it was kind of heartbreaking to know that all these people who supported us over the years that didn't have that, what do you want to call it, the comfort or the stability of what we represented all those years. And then COVID hit and it became so uncertain and we had to change hours and adapt and pivot and all these different things. So it's definitely played a role in it. We're really, really excited. We've got great leadership with ABC and Paul Kosasa saying, hey, get your restaurant back. Let's go. Let's get this thing back on track and take care of our guests, both locals and visitors alike.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good move. And we'll keep reminding people from today that you guys are going to be back to normal hours.
Yeah, starting on Monday. Mm-hmm.
Starting on Monday. Okay, great. We'll do that. For me, the best and most enjoyable cooking week of the year is fast approaching. But I do realize I'm sort of in the minority, actually. There's a lot of people who just are really terrified of cooking Thanksgiving dinner, or they can't be bothered to do it, or it just turns out to not be the great thing. And easy to see why, right? I mean, how many times do we cook a turkey during the year? Generally once. So thankfully, coming to the rescue are a bunch of restaurants like you serving Thanksgiving to go. So can you tell us what we can get from Basalt for Thanksgiving, Keith?
You bet. We're excited. This is our second year of doing the turkeys to go. We will still offer dine-in services for Thanksgiving as well. But in our turkey pack, you know, we've gotten pretty good at this to-go thing. As you know, we did the
yes.
Chef's Box with Waihata. So we got a lot of practice in how to do these things. So that's the beauty of COVID, right? You take the opportunities that you're given and just try to make the lemonade out of the lemons. And turkey is going to be it. We're going to take a boneless breast and thigh meat, slow roast them, and then package it so it'll be easy for reheating. That's going to feed a family of six. Or in your case, maybe only four, because the boys are growing.
Well, you know us well.
So we've got, for $130, we'll offer the turkey meal that will include our garlic mashed potatoes made with Yukon potatoes, our herb stuffing, which is going to be a little bit different from last year. And then we're going to add bacon roasted Brussels sprouts because not everybody is comfortable cooking Brussels sprouts. So we wanted to try to change it up instead of the traditional green beans and whatnot. So we're going to throw the Brussels sprouts in there. We're going to have our gravy and cranberry. Of course, we'll have our famous charcoal pain de sol with whipped butter because no meal is complete without having those black rolls from basalt.
Absolutely.
And for dessert, instead of the pumpkin pie for dessert, we're going to go with the pumpkin crunch, a little easier to package. Yep, and that's going to be all complete, packaged, cold, ready to go with reheating instructions. And we're even going to offer it the day before for those of you who have such busy, hectic schedules. There's going to be a couple of different pickup times available, so you can go online or you can call the restaurant at 923-5689. And order your turkey because it's going to be limited. We can only produce so much, and we're excited.
So you're starting to take orders right now. So if people call you from today, you're going to be taking orders, and then presumably you'll have a cutoff date when you are done, when you can't cook anymore.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll sell as much as we can, and then, of course, that always is the chef's challenge, right? You either prepare too much or not enough, so hopefully we hit it just right, and are able to take care of all the people that want to get our turkey to go.
I love the idea of picking it up the day before because, as everybody knows, Thanksgiving dinner always tastes better the day after it's been cooked, right? Which is why leftovers are so awesome. So I think for some people that might be a really fun option is to pick it up the day before, knowing that the flavors are all marinating and getting better and better. I, of course, wouldn't be able to pick it up the day before because everyone in my family would eat it the day before. I would not be able, I would not be able
it wouldn't
to
laugh.
Keep it.
We're animals, Keith.
No,
you
there's
are.
Just there's a lot of growing boys. Keith, how about you yourself as a chef? Is cooking Thanksgiving dinner something that you look forward to? Do you cook it for your family? Or by the time Thanksgiving comes, are you just sick of the sight of turkey breasts?
It's all of the above, Joe. I actually really do love cooking turkey and stuffing. I make a famous stuffing at home that all my girls know how to make. I call it Simon and Garfunkel stuffing because it's got from Scarborough Fair when I was a kid listening to that song. I don't know why I remember that, but parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And that all goes in the perfect mix of the stuffing.
That's cool. And how about for your – we always ask chefs this at Thanksgiving, but what's your favorite dish or side dish of the holiday? What's the one thing that you really look forward to eating yourself?
Oh, I love that my stuffing with gravy. I mean, I top it with cranberry and, you know, because for whatever reason, you never quite know what people are going to eat. So sometimes you have too much turkey but mashed potatoes can run out real quick. So you're just saying, what do I have left over? And I always have leftover stuffing because I love that. I love it so much.
See, I can tell you're looking forward to it as well. Keith Kahn is the executive chef at Basalt in Waikiki. They are going to be back to regular opening
Monday.
Hours from next week on Monday. So make sure that you go in and say hello to everyone you've missed for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or wonderful happy hour. Over there in Waikiki. And the turkey dinners to go, you can call and start ordering them now. I wouldn't wait. The price is extremely reasonable. And that you said that would feed 6 normal people, right?
I believe so, or 4 Curran McGarrys, right?
three Currans and 1 McGarry who gets the leftovers. I'm so happy that you took some time to talk to us this morning. It's always nice to check in. Right before you go, just give us your thoughts. I was talking earlier about it's the end of an era in a way with the closing of Alan Wong's and the closing of Town, because although Ed Kenny will continue to do what he does really well, the opening of Town to me was a really kind of iconic day. He brought, you know, the kind of neighborhood restaurants that we'd all been really looking for into Kaimuki, and I feel kind of sad to see these two restaurants announcing their closures at the same time. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Joe, it is very sad. It's such a difficult time for so many people, and restaurants represent the storylines that have happened. I mean, you're talking some 20, some 30, some 40 years, 75 years, all these things that have history and part of our culture, because we know how food is. I mean, you love food, that's your business, and you see how it affects everybody's lives on a daily basis. And it's sad, and I hope that we can recover from it. I hope that some of these new restaurants it's always exciting, because Hawaii is famous for loving new restaurants, but they're not famous for sticking with the old guys that kind of become stale or whatnot. And I just hope we appreciate those that have been in the business for so long doing this hard job. Kudos to them for doing it all this time, and I hope that they resurface in a new and exciting and rewarding way that allows them to thrive and move forward into what's happening, because things are changing so much for the restaurant and restaurant industry, and for chefs in particular. And I just wish them all well. I really hope that they come back stronger than ever.
I have a feeling that we'll see them bouncing back with way new creative ideas, but thank you for that. Keith Kong, lovely to talk to you. We'll let you get back to your extremely busy day. I'm going to tell everyone how they can call and order. I'm going to give them your phone numbers, and we'll look forward to seeing you very soon. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
All right, Joan. Thanks. And don't forget, they can make reservations at the restaurant as well. So we're offering our Thanksgiving dinner dine-in with a cakey menu for available for Thanksgiving as well.
Absolutely. We'll do all of that. Take care. Thank you, Keith.
All right. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
When we come back, I'm going to give you all that information about the restaurant so you can take notes. Or, of course, you can just go to basaltwaikiki.com, which is the easiest thing to do. And there you will find the dine-in and take-out Thanksgiving menu. The turkey to-go menu is up. It's $130 for six people, and it's a great menu. You know, I saw a menu yesterday, Bobby, somebody had, and it was a very small kind of restaurant. Obviously, they're trying to do Thanksgiving. But I was trying to work out how the value of it, because they're cooking the food and then they're freezing it. So you have to bring on the turkey and then thaw it and then reheat it, which to me is just worse than having to actually cook it. But anyway, that small restaurant will remain nameless. I hope they do well. When we come back, we'll give you all the numbers to call for that. And stay with us. Chef Zone has a brand new, very wonderful package that's going on to help the restaurant industry. We're going to tell you more about that in just a while, and stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back. Thanks for being with us on this sunny Thursday morning. Thanksgiving is approaching. We are going to, in the next couple of weeks, as we always do every year, we're going to be bringing you lots of options for Thanksgiving. This year there'll be lots of different options, because you can do takeout without the guilt this year, I think. You can go out to restaurants and support them. You can get takeout from restaurants and support them. And you can give yourself a truly holiday weekend of no cooking and cleaning up. With Thanksgiving, it's not really the cooking, is it? It's the cleaning up. Let me give you the numbers for Basalt in Waikiki, because we do want you to go and support them along with all the other restaurants that need our help. So if you want to go and make a reservation for dine-in, it's 923-5689, and same number if you want to order their Thanksgiving dinner, 923-5689. Let me just remind you what's in that Thanksgiving dinner package. It's a roasted turkey breast, which will serve up to six normal people, with all of the trimmings, including roasted Brussels sprouts with bacon and a pumpkin crunch, along with Chef Keith's favorite stuffing and gravy, and of course mashed potatoes and all the things that you can't live without. They're also offering a prime rib for Thanksgiving as well, a prime rib dinner. I'm assuming this is per person, because it's $29, and that includes all of the trimmings that you would expect with prime rib, and of course their prime rib is amazing. So all of that on offer at Basalt Waikiki. Just go to basaltwaikiki.com. You know who else is doing Thanksgiving to go? Now, I don't think this has ever happened before, but Don Murphy's doing a Thanksgiving dinner to
no
go.
No kidding.
Yeah, he just told me that yesterday. So I hope it's official because now we've told everybody.
Right.
But I think Thanksgiving from Murphy's would be fabulous because
I do too.
I mean, if anyone knows how to roast the perfect turkey, it's Murph because he does about 100 a week, right? Because he's got all kinds of, he's got his turkey giant legs and his turkey sandwich, his very famous turkey sandwich that was on Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, and every time that program comes on, he gets flooded with people.
More requests.
Years later. Yep. So yeah, another place to get Thanksgiving to-go dinner, and it will be an easy pickup, I'm sure. Drive by, pick it up on the day of Thanksgiving, and always festive if you're down there at Murphy's to do that. So that's another kind of fun thing to do, I think. Go down to Murphy's and pick up takeout. I think what we'll do is we'll have several Thanksgivings this year because we have to support local restaurants. So I'm thinking
we have several Thanksgivings every year.
But we'll have a few out and then we'll come. I wonder how many Thanksgiving dinners you could eat without getting totally sick of eating
turkey.
Well,
I think that really depends on where you are with turkey and stuffing. For example, I kind of identify with Keith because turkey and stuffing. Like I love prime rib, but I can't imagine having prime rib on Thanksgiving.
Oh, is that
that's right?
Yeah,
oh, that's no, just, yeah. For me, it's got to be turkey.
Yeah. And what are the things, I forget, I know that you like everything, but what's the thing that you sort of look forward to the absolute most?
Butternut squash, the Brussels sprouts, mashed potato, of course, and then the stuffing. And
that's everything.
And the homemade cranberry sauce. I mean, that's all part of the deal.
But that's every single thing. So if you had to give up one thing, that's a better way to ask. If you had to give up one thing, what would it be? You couldn't.
Probably mashed potatoes, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, if I had to give up.
Can you call yourself Irish?
No, if I had to give up one of those, because the butternut squash, for me, mixed with the stuffing, would satisfy. I'm just saying. I'm not looking. I'm not volunteering to give up anything. You put me on the spot. I'd rather not give up anything. Thank you very much.
For years, I've really tried to perfect Thanksgiving dinner because for me, it's just a new holiday, right? When I came here, 20-something years ago, 10 years.
Well, and I have been the beneficiary of for quite a number of these years, 18 or 19 of them. Of how many exactly different ways you've done the turkey. I mean, we've done everything
very poorly.
From the peanut oil,
yes,
deep fried in the peanut oil, to the brown paper bag. I mean, pretty much any way that you can
de-boned
do turkey, deboned. You've done all the turkeys. Yep.
Last year, what I did was the day after. Remember, I deboned the turkey and then stuffed it. I did one of those kind of not quite a turducken, but I deboned the entire thing and then stuffed it with pancetta and then stuffing of sorts and rolled it and roasted it in the oven.
It was really good, by the way.
That was quite good because that actually looked like, when you sliced into it, it actually looked like Thanksgiving on a plate.
But I have to tell this story. Maybe I've told it before. That's my problem, is now I'm getting to an age where, wow, and people holding up their fingers how many times I've told them. But on this one, Joe, we had somebody coming over for Thanksgiving, and Joe was doing it. And
that was a long time ago, too. Yeah.
Somehow got a little distracted, and in your opinion, everybody else thought it was fine, but you were like, nope, that turkey is dry. It's not good. It's like what? So when we come home on a Saturday night, I mean, then Joe's got everything out. Everything is out. Like, what is this? She's doing the whole turkey dinner again, soup to nuts on the Sunday. I mean, who does that? That's almost crazy.
Well, the thing is, you see, I wanted to be able to do everything right, and I wasn't prepared to wait for a really long time to practice doing a turkey again. So I thought, you know what? They're still cheap. They're still available. I'm just going to go get another one. And I did do it, and it did come out really good the next time. And I think
it was great, actually. Yeah.
That, to me, that's a sort of joy in it. But when you only do it once a year,
we usually do it Christmas,
we
too.
We do Christmas, yeah. It is twice a year, actually. But so, yeah. No, it was fun, but I did enjoy sort of perfecting it. And I do like it now. I'm now confident enough to say that I think all of the things that come along with Thanksgiving dinner
are
quite
fun. Now, you might think
fun.
This is weird, because since we do usually the Christmas, the turkey and Christmas as well. But I could do the prime rib. If someone said, oh, it's prime rib for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's very Christmas.
I could have that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it on Thanksgiving.
Well, then we'll get that for takeout from Basalt then on Christmas and give me a break.
Okay.
We are going to, in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Kenneth Shaw from Waihata Chef Zone. He's the marketing manager over there, because they have a lot of really cool stuff going on. And I wanted to share with everyone, Bobby, that this past week, Chef Zone got together with to help the food service industry. So as we know, there are just thousands of food service industry people who are unemployed. And with unemployment coming to an end, it's really a difficult time for them. All the hotel and lodging employees too are having a really hard time. And so what Chef's Zone did was they came up with this really cool care package. He is going to tell us, Kenneth is going to tell us a little bit more about that when we get him on the phone. But basically what they did is they've put together a box of food exclusively for the hotel and restaurant food industry workers, and are distributing it. And
I mean, already prepared food or stuff they have to cook?
Yeah, no, it's a mixture of stuff that's prepared and some food that they can, you know, that chefs have done for them. So Chef's Zone have these chef's boxes, which are really fantastic. They started off with just one with one chef, and now they have, I would think they're up to 5 or 6 different kinds. You can every single week order a box from with either fresh, healthy ingredients in them. Mark Freiberg was with us last week talking about the kids' boxes that he is doing. We've got Tex 808 barbecue. Do a box from Chef Zone. You can pick up a barbecue box, which will feed 4 to 6 people. And actually, Keith Kong, who we were just talking to, executive chef at Basalt, he is doing a gourmet box, a dinner for two box. He's doing a whole bunch of different boxes, and you basically get 8 to 10 meals. So you pick up your box, the food is prepared, and for $85, you're getting 10 meals cooked by Chef Kong's staff at Basalt.
That's a heck of a deal,
that
really.
That is an amazing deal. There's a couples box. I saw this the other day, actually, when I was over at Chef's.
A couples box?
Yes, so it's like a romantic dinner for two. Let me give you an example of this one. It is like, you know, shrimp, steak, a little pasta, some beautiful roasted red peppers, vegetables. There's an appetizer. And then there's like a tiramisu for two for $49.
Wow.
To pick up that one. Yeah, I mean, it's really, they're doing an incredible job. So
I'm getting a little hungry, actually.
That's our job. That's another website to go check out this morning, chefzone.com. We're going to go and take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have Kenneth Shaw tell us a little bit more about the amazing boxes that they're doing over there. We're going to keep telling you more about turkeys to go and restaurants to go to have Thanksgiving and support them this Thanksgiving holiday. So stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. I'm Joe McGarry, plus Bobby Curran. If you want to know more about Mojo and the work that we do with restaurants, then please go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, where you will see some of the people we work with, and I'm sure you'll recognize many of them. And if you or anyone you know are thinking of opening a restaurant, and yes, there are people thinking of doing it at this challenging time, then you can contact us through the website. I wanted to share with you some really good stuff that's happening over at Chef Zone, and as well as making Bobby hungry by talking about the chef boxes, they've just started this other initiative, which I really wanted to give them kudos for. Kenneth Shaw, who's the marketing manager for Chef Zone, is joining us right now to tell us more about the initiative. Hi, Kenneth. How are you?
Hi, Mojo. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, tell us about this initiative to help the food service industry, how it started. And I know that the boxes are sold out this time around, so we're not going to be telling people to come and apply because they sold so quickly. But give us an overview of the idea that you guys came up with and how it was executed.
Well, definitely. So first of all, this program came up from the Chef Hui program. So this is a partnership. The entire concept, again, developed between Chef Zone and the Chef Hui program,
We've also added in the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. So all three organizations are working together to create food service industry care packages. We all know that Hawaii, as well as the rest of the nation, was hit very badly by the pandemic. And we really wanted to find a way to give back to our food service industry community. And what better way to do that than with food? You know, food is love, food is aloha. So how can we spread that within our community? So
with what, this partnership, Kenneth, what's in a food box? Give us an idea of what you put together in the box for the industry.
So it's filled with 100% local products. There's ground beef, ulu, kalo, some hot dogs, fresh eggs, corn, kabocha, and a venison bar. So there's a lot of product in there, some frozen, some fresh and chilled. So it'll last for quite a bit.
And is the idea because you've already sold these ones out, but I'm sure it'll be happening again at some point, the idea is that people in the food service industry could apply for one of these boxes, and then when they're ready, they'll just come pick them up?
So what we've done is there were set distribution dates in December for these boxes, which have already been completely sold out. And so anyone within the food service industry would reserve a time and date to pick up their box. So the application process is not very lengthy at all. It's name, where you work, and confirming you're part of the industry, and you're set to go.
It's a fantastic idea. It goes hand in hand with the chef boxes that are all available from chefzone.com, and they're growing, I think, by the week. Every time I check out this website, there's more opportunity, there are more options, there's more restaurants joining in. In the past few weeks, Texas 808 Barbecue has become one of the regulars, along with the Heart Healthy Meals and meals from Chef Kong at Basalt as well. It's a fantastic program, and I'm sure the restaurant industry are so grateful just to be able to know that you guys are thinking about them in a really practical way. Do you think, Kenneth, that it will be something that you will do again? Is it likely because of the response that Chef Zone will take this initiative and do it again sometime in the future?
So the response was huge from the community. We sold out within 10 hours, and so looking at the possibility of doing it again in the future is on the table, trying to figure out when and if it can be done again. So, yes.
Awesome. We'll look forward to it. But we also look forward to a day when we don't need to be doing these things again. Thank you so much for checking in with us and giving us a quick overview of that. If you guys want more information on the really great work that Chef Zone is doing, just go to chefzone.com. Easy to find them. Bobby, we are just about out of time, which is amazing to me because I just felt like I came in and started talking to you.
Now
it's time to go. We got to go. We'll see you next Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Joe McGarry. See you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazier's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.